Hit Breakfast Show. This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Buongiorno. Welcome to the podcast. Lot of chats off air today, Carly, if I'm being honest.
And I feel like we were chatting a lot during the songs.
Yeah, there was a lot of that today, and a lot of it will probably make it to the show tomorrow.
But can I just say,
please,
going back to your opening of Buongiorno?
Buongiorno.
I saw this lady on TikTok the other day saying that is the correct way to greet people in Italy, because if you say ciao, then apparently, like, that's the formal way, and that's, like, you don't say that to someone you just met.
I do buongiorno because that's what my Italian teacher used to say every time I'd walk into class. She'd go, we'd be like, buongiorno, and everyone would go, buongiorno. And yeah, it was like I think I learnt that word and porta, which means door, and uno, due, tre.
What's that?
That was just 1, 2, 3. I think it's important to know how to say 1, 2, 3 in a lot of languages. Japanese, ichi, ni, san, Thai, nung song si. Yeah, nung song si. So, you know, and then English, 1, 2, 3. Nailed it. Man of many talents. I don't know it in any other language yet, but I'm always willing to learn. Yeah. Do you know any other languages? Do you have any?
So I did advance French at school for my HSC because my nana really encouraged that, because she spoke lots of languages and she loved French. So she always kind of pushed me towards that. And the only thing I really remember from all of the French I did that's kind of stuck with me, and I try and brush it up from time to time on Duolingo, is how to order food. I think is the most important part, right?
You got to stay alive.
Yeah, so I can order. Well, now that I'm a vegetarian, I might need to up my vocabulary.
Brie.
Yes.
Vino. I think that's Italian.
No, that's actually wine.
Escargot.
Yeah.
There you go. I love French food. Jeez, it's fattening, but they're not afraid of butter in France.
Yeah, but they look so good.
Yeah, they do.
Do you know what? I remember there was this book and it was like written like, I think it was called Why the French Don't Get Fat or something.
What a title. And
yeah, I think it was like written by this woman. Anyway, do you know what it all come down to? I could have just saved myself reading this book.
Don't you dare say exercise.
No. Portion control.
Jeez.
Is there such thing with the baguette?
Yeah. No, there's not. These French are
like,
out of control.
They wouldn't make them so big if there was portion control.
Yeah. No. That's, you know what it is? It's because they all smoke as well. That's why. That's got to have some kind of impact.
I'm sure it does.
I always think there's this Dylan Moran comedy sketch he does that's just like him impersonating like a French couple, and they just wake up in their apartment and it's just like, please get me some food, I'm so hungry. And it's just like, why don't you eat the crumbs of the croissants off my bare naked feet while we have sex and smoke cigarettes? And it's just like perfect. And I don't know what accent I did then, by the way.
It wasn't French. What's going on?
But if it offended you, I apologize. But please just let me know which country I did, so that way I can know if I can do that impression or not.
But anyway, here's the podcast.
Great call. I don't want to sound like a boomer or a old person by any means, but I want to have a little bit of a rant about the petrol prices.
Oh, here we go. This will be interesting radio.
Quick backstory. My car, Cinnamon, 2008 Toyota Orion. Yeah, that's right. I got a nice car. I don't want to brag. But I only ever give a premium. She deserves it. She has never let me down.
Can I be real?
Please.
I always go for the cheapest petrol.
Yeah.
Or not diesel, though. I learned that the hard way.
Yeah, no. They're not optional. They're not, you know, just, oh, diesel's cheapest. I'll just do that one today. No.
No, but in all honesty, I always go for the cheapest that my car will take because I don't know the difference. I feel like it's just an advertising thing.
It probably
is. It's like false advertising. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I know what you mean. And it probably is. But at the same time, she deserves it, so I give her the best. And she's never let me down, so, you know, I feel like it's a good track record we have. But yesterday, I filled up with premium for Cinnamon $2.17 a litre, which is insane. I have never spent over $2 a litre on fuel.
Fuel is getting really expensive. So is groceries, so is the cost of living. Yeah, we know this, but what I want to know is how much was the home brand petrol?
I don't know. I didn't look. It doesn't worry me. I saw $1.60 something. I don't know.
No, but that is wild. And I'm going to show my age here to add to this, you know, boomer break. But I feel like I remember when petrol hit a dollar.
Yeah, me
and
too.
And everyone lost their minds about it.
That's the problem. Everyone pays attention when they're like big, like milestones, you know, like $1, $1.50, you know, that sort of thing. But as soon as they get past the milestone, they can just keep going until the next milestone. Then we start caring again.
You know what I tried to do for a little while? I didn't keep up with it. But remember back in the day when you got like a docket from Woolies and stuff, yep, and you got like 4 cents off a litre?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I actually used to do, I went through a little phase of doing that. I mean, I don't know how much money I saved, but
I do the like candy bar thing where it's like you buy like the lollies and then you get like 8 cents off a litre. But it all kind of just works out that
I'm not just the worst.
I know.
You don't need those lollies, so you're spending money to save money.
It ends up like I just pay like a dollar extra on top of my fuel, but I end up with 2 king-size Mars bars. So
that could get me over the line with these crazy petrol prices if they chuck in like a, you know, 2 Red Bulls in there as well.
Yeah, but geez, it's insane. Do you want to know the reason why it's so expensive, by the way? I started doing some research, and this is a legit reason. According to economists, at the moment, fuel and oil and all that, it's being underproduced. They've been underproducing it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't we have like just a little reserve we can tap into somewhere?
I don't know. I'll have a chat with someone
the
about
reserve
it. But
tank?
But that's what's happening. So if you're listening right now and you're in charge of fuel, please make a little bit more of it. There you go. Fix that. Done and dusted. 6:48. Fix the economy. Done.
And yesterday I went for a barbecue with the fam at the lake.
The lake.
So, yes, we're having a barbecue on the lake, and my brother bought down his newly purchased kayak. He got it off Facebook Marketplace, raved about the bargain he got for it.
Yep, of course. You have to do that. That's the rule of Facebook Marketplace. The first rule is you must brag about the price.
But I had this moment. I don't know what it was. I think it was like the sea breeze. I don't know what it was, but it just, I got caught in the moment, and I said to my brother, I'm going to go for a kayak.
Okay.
Now, I'm quite accident prone. I'm not known for my upper body strength. And all of my family were like, really? You? I was like, yeah, guys, me. So I think I had a point to prove, right?
Okay. Do you want me to set the tone?
Set the tone.
All right, let's just get a little bit of, okay.
So I pull the thing into the water and I start paddling and I can feel my family on the banks watching. And so where this lake is, it joins onto the ocean. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to prove my family wrong and I'm going to paddle all the way out to the ocean and really show them that I have it in me.
Well, we're chatting today, so the story's not ending how I'm expecting it.
So I'm there and I start, and something really amazing starts to happen. The wind's in my hair. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to get a kayak. I feel so at one with like nature, and I'm looking around and I'm feeling peaceful and I'm just like paddling along and the ocean's getting closer and closer and closer. And then I had this like epiphany and I thought, this is my life now. I'm a kayak person. I'm actually going to be a kayaker. I'm going to buy one of these things and this is going to like kind of like when I spoke about getting a hammock. That changed my life for the better.
I do remember that.
I thought, this is going to help me be a more zen person, decompress. So I get over to the other side of the lake where it meets the ocean. And then I turn around and then everyone over the other side of the lake are like little dots on the horizon.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh God. So I go to start paddling and I'm not moving. And I'm like, what's going on here? So I keep going to start paddling.
Yeah.
And I'm just not going anywhere. I'm staying in one spot.
Yeah.
And then I realized that the water's like super deep around me. And I was like, you know, if there's sharks in here, like they could just bump this kayak over.
Absolutely.
So at this point, now I'm like panicked. I've gone from one extreme to the other. So I'm like splashing around. And I was like, maybe I shouldn't splash. Like maybe I'm attracting the sharks. But then I'm like, what do I do? And I'm like, I can't walk it from here. Like, and then I can't drag this thing over there. I've got no option but to get back there.
Mm-hmm.
And what was happening was on the way over with the wind in my hair, I was going with the tide.
Yeah, you were going with that current. Absolutely.
I was at one with the current. It's a different thing when you are going against the current. And you know what ended up happening to me? This was the most humiliating thing. And my family were just cacking themselves. I had a swimmer see me struggle and pulled me, like while swimming, pulled me back over to my family. Do you know, I couldn't even look my family in the eye. I could feel the smugness.
I'm going to kill the ambience.
Just radiating off them. say I won't be purchasing a kayak on Facebook Marketplace anytime soon.
No good.
You know what, though? They just need a motor. And I would have been fine.
That defeats the purpose, mate. Before we got into this, I asked you to visualize your kitchen drawer. Visualize the annoying utensil that's in there. Carly, did one come to you?
Yes.
What is it?
Well, because for everyone, it's universal, right, that it's the second drawer.
Yep.
The one you just stuff all the crap in.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm actually going to call out my mum here. It's not mine.
Okay,
but
sure.
I have a lot of useless utensils. But the one I find the most useless when I opened up my mum's second drawer the other day was she still has those old school things just stick in the side of the corn.
Yes, useless.
To help you eat corn, yep. Like as if we don't have hands.
Yep, yep. That is spot on. That's exactly what I'm talking about. For me, in our house, we have 7 pairs of tongs, mini tongs. They're like not big at all. They're tiny. It's like you're making the smallest little sausage in the world with it. They are small. They are ridiculous. But my wife brings them out once a year when we host a Christmas function and uses them all for the different dishes that go out. So for 364 days of the year, they're just filling up this drawer, jamming into it. So you try to open it, they spring open for no reason. And I hate them.
So why 7 tiny tongs?
There's probably more. 7's all I've managed to count. There's probably more. Because you have all different types of different food out. So she just puts tongs on every single one of them. These little tongs.
Yeah, but I can appreciate
it. Because
no, but as I'm getting older, I am learning the difference in tong sizes and how it matters.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. Just go
it
for the normal.
It does, because like for barbecues, you need the really long tongs so you don't get your hands burnt.
No, it's fine.
And
burn
then
your hands
for little
bit.
Like tappers, you need the tiny tongs.
No, you don't.
And then for like just average size dishes when you're serving up the sausages, you need just average tongs.
You sound like my wife.
So tong size matters. I'm with your wife.
She's also got a set of wooden tongs that have a magnet on them attached to the fridge so she can get her toast out of the toaster.
Oh my God, that's genius.
No, absolutely not. Stop. 13:10:60 this morning. I want to know what impractical utensil are you happy to whip out? Every now and then, because my wife was so chuffed, she's like, oh yeah, hosting a function. Let's get these tongs out, baby. And she had them all lined up, ready to go the day before. She was ready to rock. I want to know if you've got an impractical, or maybe kind of practical at times, utensil or dish or something that for 364 days of the year, it is completely useless. But when that day comes, you're like, blow the dust off this bad boy. Give it a quick clean. This is going out there. I am proud of this. Now, I don't know if we're going to get any calls on this one. I'll be honest. I'm showing my cards. But I feel like everyone's got something like this living in their pantry or, as Carly said, in your second drawer. So 13:10:60. Matthew from Kalgoorlie. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
Now, what is it for you, mate?
Talking about tongs, a few years ago, the father-in-law was over for a visit and he brought us teabag strainer tongs.
Oh, no. That's a thing?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is a thing, and they only get used when he comes over for a visit.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And then for the rest of the time, they're just sitting there collecting dust, right?
Yes, and he rings, and oh, are you using them tongs? Yeah, I use them all the time.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what else you could use them for? You could put, like, a tiny little piece of mandarin in there and use it as like a little mandarin juice strainer.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wanted to speak on behalf of Matthew just then and say absolutely not. No. Matthew, you sound like you got the same hatred for little tongs like I do.
Yes. They spring open, as you said.
Yes!
Door open.
And my wife has lost because she's got the little metal ring that goes down to fold them down. On a couple of the sets, that they're gone. The little metal ring is gone.
Yeah, they just disappear.
This is what I'm talking about. Matthew, thanks for your call. Let's go to Jody and Collie. Jody, what's that impractical item that you only bring out once a year?
It's very practical.
Oh, yeah?
Once a year, when we go on our big camping trip, I take my coffee machine.
You take a coffee machine camping?
Yes, I've got a second one just for the special occasion.
I need to go camping with you. This is my kind of campsite. Now, wait a second, because obviously you're going to a powered site because you need power for it, right?
Or a generator.
What's the generator?
This is amazing. A backup coffee machine. It sounds like you are living life to the fullest.
Absolutely. I'm not going anywhere without it.
Yeah, but I bet you could go anywhere you want without little tongs. Because they're the worst, right?
No, I agree. They are very useful.
No. So I don't need this.
They are.
Carly, I want to share a story, which, to be honest, it's about my reputation. And if someone was to adopt this method, maybe one day it could save your life.
I always think when it comes to reputation, because it's a weird thing, what do you base that on? Is it what you think of you? Well, obviously, it's what other people think of you.
What other people think of you, exactly.
But is anyone ever going to be honest with you about your reputation?
Well, they were honest about this. So, quick backstory. We've been doing the show. You're in a different studio. So, we've been using our phones to do video chat so we can see each other because it's just easier to do it on our phones than trying to set up another laptop and have another screen to stare at. So, what's been happening is my phone has been pretty much like on 10% battery life by the time we finish the show every day, which means that my phone pretty much dies around lunchtime until I can get in my car and put it on my charger. So, I caught up with a couple of mates for lunch. The other day, my phone died before I got to go to that place for lunch. Now, I rocked up to the place. Turns out I was at the wrong place. There's two restaurants. They have the same names. And so I went to the wrong one. The reputation part comes in because I have a reputation of not only am I always on time, I'm normally early. So what happened was the two people I were meeting went straight to worst case scenario. They thought I had died. They thought something horrible had happened to me.
I shouldn't laugh at that, but like, what are your, like.
So I went there. They didn't see him. I waited for 15 minutes because those two people are notoriously late. That's their reputation. So then I went back into my car, charged my phone for a little bit, saw all these missed calls, saw messages that read, oh my God, are you alive? Like, oh my God, what's happened? Like, are you okay? Like, what's, rang him up going, hey, I'm at this one. Where are you? Like, no, we're at the other one. I'm like, ah, no. So then I went there and caught up with him and all was fine. But isn't that good to know that if I'm just by being late, if something had actually happened to me, they'll be well across it because of the reputation that I have.
I feel like you think your reputation is that you're reliable, but I feel like your reputation is that you could have stupidly ended up doing something that ends up in your demise.
Yeah, but they'll know and they'll send out a search party. And that's good to know. Like versus them.
So it pays to be on time. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. It pays to be punctual because if they were like, you know, half an hour late, I would just be like, oh, classic, you know, classic Tim. This is what he always does. He's always late. But he could be like dead. And I wouldn't even give it another thought because I'd just be like, he's always late. And he just doesn't turn up like, oh, I must have forgotten. Classic Tim. And I'd be done with it. But for them, because of my reputation, they're like, nah, Alan, he must have died. It's the only reason why he wouldn't be here right now. So, that's pretty good.
What you're saying is literally being early saves lives.
Hey, you said it.
You sound like my husband when he's hurrying me along and I've still got one half of my hair to curl.
Hey, you said it. You said it. Being early saves lives. You heard it here first on Hit. Carly's words, not mine, but you were spot on. Great story, Carly. Couldn't agree more with you. And last night, this happened on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
The celebrity departing the so-called jungle tonight is...
In case you missed it, that was Cal Wilson being shot out of a giant slingshot and also out of the jungle and joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
That was terrifying.
Oh, it really is. It really is. And I think the beautiful touch is the see ya on the bottom of the chair as you get catapulted into that spot.
You, last minute, but I saw that you went to grab your nose. I'm like, you are a lot better than I would have been in that situation. I would have just started crying and you managed to grab your nose in time. Did you get it in time before you hit the water?
I did. But then after I'd hit the water, I also started crying because it was so cold.
Oh, well, no.
I want to know, was that some sort of prop lake they set up or was that a real life lake? Because it looked terrifying. The water looked dark. I was like, what creatures are in there?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what creatures are in there, but there was definitely sounds of creatures in there. Like things with throats and vocal cords definitely live in that swamp.
Oh, yuck. Oh, no. That's a no from me. Cal Wilson, you did amazing in the jungle. I'm a big fan of yours. How did you go without seeing your cats for so long? Because I follow you on Instagram and those cats are nearly in like every story you do.
Yeah, totally. You know, I just thought of the possums that were in the camp as cats and just kind of coped that way.
Well, so you're patting possums like a weirdo, just stroking them?
Well, I want to ask you about possums, actually, because Bo Ryan told this epic story that he got so hungry, and we didn't actually see this on our screens, during his time in the jungle that producers had to intervene on him trying to kill a possum to eat.
No
way. Were you there when this happened?
He tells a great story.
So no truth to that?
Well, Poe and I had a possum encounter that we didn't even know what it was until we watched the show back. Poe woke me up one night and went, "There's something munching." She thought it was me. She woke up and half dreaming, thought that I had smuggled salt and vinegar chips into the jungle and was eating them. And then she realized it wasn't me, but there was a creature in the bush next to our bed that was chewing. And it was only the other night when we saw it, we're like, "Oh, thank God it was a possum and not some giant lizard or a man." Like,
just a real creepy producer, just like, "You guys sleeping tight." Calm, calm, calm.
It wasn't in a cage, was it? Maybe that Bo story was true.
In a makeshift trap, just sitting there.
Now, Cal, a lot of celebrities tend to have an idea of what the show is because it has been running for so long now. Were you a fan of the show before you went on?
Yeah, I was a fan of watching the show but never of doing the show.
Yeah.
And so it was a big shock to us all when I said yes. So it just kind of felt like, everything is so bonkers with the pandemic. I was like, well, why the hell not? And I'm so glad that I did. Like, I feel like next season I'll be the decoy duck sitting in the pond saying to all the other celebrities, do it, do it, do it. Because it was just so much fun.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think I could handle the camping and the not eating, but those food challenges, like, haunt me and I'm not even tasting them.
It was hard watching them back because I was having like sense flashbacks and going, I remember what that tasted like. I remember what that felt like. The worst part about the Tucker trials was Dr. Chris Brown's helpful descriptions.
Yeah.
Like, they would just helpfully remind you of what you were trying to ignore in your mouth. So there were a few things I won't be eating again. There was a fair bit of animal genitalia, which I had never expected to come into contact with.
No. Did Poe happen to talk about any recipes that later she could do with that outside of the jungle?
No, we just did not want to discuss any. Like, I didn't even know turkeys had testicles. I mean, it makes sense that they do, but I just never even thought about it. And why are they so big? Why, like, proportionally, like, why does a turkey need that much testicle? Like,
you're spot on.
Now, Cal, obviously you just mentioned before, you're a viewer of the show. What was the biggest surprise to you going from watching the show versus actually being in the show? Was there anything when you went, wow, this is completely different to what I expected?
Besides the outfits, obviously.
Yeah, just how much I loved everybody. Like, I went in going, okay, I'm probably going to hate two people. Like, I was kind of going, oh my God, it's going to be like
Dr. Chris and Julia. Yeah.
But it was like steeling myself, like, okay, they're going to get Piers Morgan and, I don't know, a ball of wasps. Like, there'll be two people that I just hate. And I loved everybody. Like, everybody in there was just gorgeous. And it's so rare that you just make new friends en masse as an adult. And it was like all our job was to sit there and make friends with each other and occasionally get covered in vomit. It was amazing.
Yeah.
You're kind of selling the jungle weirdly, because when we spoke to Bo,
he
was genuinely terrified from what he had been through. It's interesting hearing the different experiences versus different people.
I know. I feel like I've joined a cult with terrible catering. Like, I really did just have the best time. Like, it was this mix of profound conversations and Huntsman sandwiches. And it's kind of like when you have a baby, like, people go, oh, I could never have a kid, all those nappies. And you go, yeah, but you're not changing nappies 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And, like, so for me it was like, oh, yeah, you have to eat pig's penises, but not 24 hours a day. Just like, occasionally.
Imagine that challenge. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here continues tonight on Channel 10 and 10 Play On Demand. Cal Wilson, an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast.